tuned for the very best in contemporary Christian music. 91.5 FM, WMIE.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I am Pastor Paul Esposito, the senior pastor of Island Community Church, along with my associate, Pastor Darren Solana. We greet you here today on this Wednesday. Thanks for joining us here. It's hump day already. It's Wednesday. That means one great thing. That means we're having service tonight, and you are invited. My associate pastor teaching here tonight, as me and my wife, Carol, are in the Keys this week for a few days off. And Pastor Darren will be bringing the word and teaching, starting verse by verse through the book of 1 Thessalonians. That's where he will be as soon as I'm done with Titus. This is what we do here at Island. We teach books of the Bible, verse by verse. We teach all the New Testament, some Old Testament books as well. My associate pastor's in the book of Ezekiel. And on our Sunday morning, Sunday school prior to service from 9:30 to 10:15, Wednesday nights, I'm in Titus right now. And my associate pastor will be in 1 Thessalonians here tonight, 6 o'clock. You guys are invited. I know the awesome church family and Pastor Darren would love to see you at church here tonight. So I encourage you to stop on by. Island Community Church is at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. My associate pastor is also preaching this Sunday morning, and I will be there, but he is preaching, and we would love to see you Sunday morning at 10:30. Okay, now here on the radio, we've been going through the book of Hebrews verse by verse. We left off with a change of the law, chapter 8. Now we're going to be up to chapter 10 here today. This sermon is entitled, I Have Come to Do Your Will. Hebrews chapter 10, this will wrap up tomorrow. Let's get into the word. Hope you guys have a blessed day. God bless you. We'll see you in God's house soon. Let's get into the word now.
Are we rolling, Danny? Are we rolling, Claude Rains? Yes, I have come to do your will. That's where we're at here. We're in Hebrews chapter 10. Let's pray and ask for God's blessings before we go any further. Lord God Almighty, Lord, we come to you once again in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray and we ask you for wisdom, insight, understanding, and knowledge here today. Draw close to us. Speak to us where we know that you speak. We're tuning into your frequency here now. We listen for your voice. Speak to us through the pages of Scripture. Lead us and guide us. We pray for those that are going to be hearing, listening in on the radio. Unbeknownst to them is that our church family is praying for them now. We pray you do a great work in everyone who tunes in here on the radio and those that are watching on YouTube later. Do an awesome work outside of these four walls. And we praise you now, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, now we're starting chapter 10 in our book of Hebrews. That's where we're at. So again, let's recap a little and see what we've learned, at least from last week. Now, chapter 8, verse 8, it says, behold, in other words, check this out. The days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Verse 13, in that he says a new covenant, he has made the first obsolete. Now, what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. All right, so what does all that mean? Simply put, the new covenant replaces the old covenant if you are Jewish. If you're a Gentile, then it's even simpler still. The New Testament or the new covenant is your only covenant. You have no old, only new, only Jesus. There is no old wineskins for you if you're not Jewish. There's only new. And as for you here, and as here are your two choices. The Lord Jesus said, those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Those are your two covenants, darkness and light, or marvelous light even, darkness or light. Now the Greek word for covenant is the word diatheke. A covenant is an agreement between God and himself. There's no one else left to make an agreement with other than himself. Or we could say an agreement between the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And in this agreement, he declares what the agreement is, all right? In this new agreement, new covenant, he declares what the agreement is, and it's this. It's whosoever will call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That is the new covenant between Almighty God and you. Whosoever will call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's his new agreement with you. Not of works. Faith on your part and blood on his. That's good news for us. I don't know how good it was for him. Sure ended up being good news, didn't it? Is there anyone that learned more than Jesus to lean not on your own understanding? To cry out on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? And look at the end result. Whosoever will call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now here's more of the new covenant. Romans 10:9. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's the new covenant. That's the new covenant. And he continues here, Romans 10:10. With the heart one believes unto righteousness. Remember, you guys have learned, when you read that word righteous, God slams down his gavel and declares you not guilty legally in a court of law. So with the heart, here's the new covenant. You're made right with God because of your faith. With the heart one believes, which inspires God to slam down his gavel and say to you, not guilty, son, daughter, enter thou into the joy of your Lord. That's in the new. That's the new covenant. With the heart one believes unto righteousness. With the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That is, I believe Jesus Christ is Lord. And not only that, he's my Lord. Because even demons believe, the Bible says. But I'm going to confess it with my mouth. That's the new covenant. I believe Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus said, therefore, whoever confesses me, there's your new covenant. Whoever confesses me, not whoever puts money in the offering plate, not what goes on the Day of Atonement, because in the new covenant, there's one Day of Atonement. He has once for all made a sacrifice for our sins. The priest is still standing. The Lord Jesus is sitting down. He's standing no more. He is sitting now. The new covenant is this. Whoever confesses me before men, everyone I've baptized in this church will give the same testimony. Is that or is that not what we do back here? That's how we do baptisms at this church. Whoever confesses me before men and women, him or her, I will confess before my Father who is in heaven. Matthew 10:32. So that's the new covenant. The old covenant between God and the Jewish people contained sacrifices for sins, year after year after year after year. The high priest stood up. Our high priest has sat down. Next time he stands up, it's going to be, remember, he said, I stand at the door. The next time he stands up, it's going to be to invade this world and come back again. And we learned last week, he's coming back again to everyone who what? Everyone who has my chiropractor on their speed dial. Everyone who's looking for him. Maybe he doesn't mean what he says when he says that. He says that's who he's coming back for. Or everyone who eagerly awaits him. Now in chapter 9 of Hebrews, the author talked about the old tabernacle, which was a copy of the original, which is in heaven. God gave Moses the blueprints to build it. Hebrews 9:11, it says, Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle not made with hands, that is, not of this creation. In Hebrews 9:12, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption, and I would add, for you. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Thank you, Jesus. I need some of that. How about you? Ain't nothing like having your conscience cleansed from a whole bunch of dead works out here, right? Everything that we did for ourselves is dead works. Only what's done for Christ will last. Cleanse my conscience, that means that God has amnesia with his sins, and he's going to give me amnesia for nigh on 30 some odd years that I wasted in Paul's name. In Paul's name, I do this. Amen. Thank God, he says, he's going to purge my conscience, and it'll make it be like when my wife asked me to take the garbage out. My conscience is purged 5 minutes later. I keep forgetting to do these things. Well, thank God he's promised he's going to purge my conscience of all these dead works that I've done. Verse 15, now for this reason, he is the mediator, that's the go-between, right? Like Moses was. He is the mediator of the New Testament, or a new covenant, by means of death. That is, someone had to die. Someone had to die for this to be enacted. By means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, so that those who are called, you see, again, you've got to be called, no matter what book you're in, you've got to be called for this. So that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. In verse 22, we read about the significance of blood. It says, according to the law, that would be Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11. That's nothing new to talk about blood. So according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Again, he's using their own book, the Old Testament, to prove that to these first century Jews that the remission of sin involves blood. It always has. Nothing's changed. The only thing that's changed is the Lord Jesus has, by one offering, perfected forever all of us that are being sanctified, and he sat down. His sacrifice was better. That's the whole idea of the book of Hebrews. Everything is better with Jesus. Everything. So without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. Lastly was verse 28 here, Hebrews 9:28. It says, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. Well, that would be to as many as received him. The offering is the invitation is for all the whosoever wills out there. That's up to you. That's your choice. So he's going to bear the sins of many. He's not going to bear the sins of all. It's available for all, but you've got to receive that. So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, or the King James Version says, to those who look for him, shall he appear a second time apart from sin for salvation. All right, let's move on now to chapter 10, verse 1. For the law, having a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with these same sacrifices which they offer continually, year by year, make those who approach perfect. So look at that here. Only the blood of Christ can make an atonement for your sins, and everyone else's sins for that matter. Because as we read in verse 2, the blood of bulls and goats, that if the blood of bulls and goats was sufficient, then they would no longer keep sacrificing them year after year. All right, verse 2. For that would they not have ceased to be offered? For the worshipers, once purified, would have had no more consciousness of sins. But in those sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins every year. That's just like the Hebrew Day of Atonement. How sad is that? Year after year after year after year after year, someone has to pay the price for your sins. A Day of Atonement, year after year? We just read in 9:26, but want now, once at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sins by the sacrifice for himself. That word for put away means to abolish or disannul. He has abolished our sins once and for all. The Lord Jesus has destroyed sin once and for all by dying for sin as a sacrifice. Verse 4. For it is not possible. Look at that. It is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. Or we could read, it is not possible that the Old Testament sacrifices could take away sins. Here's a note I wrote 10 years ago. I just found an old Bible. Animal sacrifices did not offer true atonement, but they were the means God appointed that allowed him to pass over the sins of Israel, knowing those sins would one day be dealt with by the atonement and the mediation of Christ, Romans 3:25. This note from Warren Wiersbe. The Old Testament priest stands daily, but Christ has sat down. The Old Testament priest offered the same sacrifices often. Christ offered one sacrifice once, and that was himself. By one offering, God has given a right standing that is perfected forever to everyone out here who will believe and receive. Verse 5. Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. All right, now that's Psalm 40, but only if you have a copy of the Greek Old Testament. That one's not in your Bible. Now, I encourage you, read that sometime in your own studies. Read Psalm 40, verses 6 through 8, and compare it to what this man just quoted. Man, they do serious harm to that change in that Bible. Your Bibles, if you went back and read your Bibles there, it says, sacrifice and offering you did not desire. My ears you have opened. But here it says, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. Capital M. Verse 6, in burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you had no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come, and the volume of the book is written of me. Behold, I have come to do your will, O God. So I have come, he said, it's written about me here in the book by David 1,000 years before the time. I have come to do your will, he says. That's why Jesus left his position and came down here to do the will of his heavenly Father. And what was the will of God? The Apostle Paul tells us, "Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation." That is, God was in Christ reconciling the world back to himself, not imputing or not counting their trespasses against them. That's 2 Corinthians 5:19. And that was the will of God. Reconciling the world back to himself. Can you see that? In other words, God says, "I'll take you, 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 you. I'll take you, I'll take you, and I'll take you." That's good news. And then he's flicked on the switch on the inside of you. And now, because God's flicked your switch, now you know that Jesus is real. Because he's got to flick that switch on the inside of you. Otherwise, you'll be just like the other 5 billion people out here in the world. They killed him for saying God so loved the world. Man, oh man, God's got to flick that switch on the inside of you. He's flicked that many times on the inside of me. When I was dating the wrong girl, he flicked the switch. She probably still hates me to this day. Man, oh man, God's got a way. He flicks the switch, you see. And then it's like, oh man, I'm in the wrong situation here. And then, unbeknownst maybe to you, same thing happened with my current wife. You see, after my wife had passed away, I was scared to get involved again, and I broke up with her. And God gave me such a beating that night. The worst whooping I have ever had spiritually in my entire life. I think I asked her to marry me a few days after that. Because then he flicks the switch the other way. That's what he does. He flicks the switch on the inside of you. When you're doing something wrong, or if you need correction, or if you're doing something right, you get blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. He flicks the switch as well for good there. Now, Jesus came so that he could reconcile you back to God the Father. When he says, "Behold, it's written about me in the book. David wrote it 1,000 years ago. I have come to do your will." And that was the will of the Father, that he was going to be in Jesus, reconciling you back to him through him. And the thing that separated you and him was sin. Someone's got to pay the price. Now, we read in the book of Hebrews that without the shedding of blood, someone's got to die to pay the price. Somebody has to die. And the person and the one who died is the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Now, apparently, he brought his own blood to the original tabernacle, not the copy, but he presented it in the original, said to purify the things that are in heaven. I don't understand it. And that was the will of God. And how did he do it? Well, we just read it again in the last chapter. By his blood, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. Ephesians 1:7 and Colossians 1:14, it says, "In whom we have redemption through his blood." The remission of sin. The will of God the Father was that the Son had to die. And the Son says, "Behold, I have come to do your will. No matter the cost, no matter the cost, I've come to do your will." So starting today, this is what I pray for you, and this is what I pray for me. Can you make that declaration? I have come to do the will of God. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Can you make that declaration here today on this 16th day of June, year of our Lord 2025? that you are going to spend the rest of your time here on terra firma, like what Jesus said, and do the will of God. Can you make that declaration? I mean, it's true, and that's why you're here today, but can you make that declaration? I am here to do your will. Oh God, are you able to say that here today? No matter the cost, I'm here to do your will. No turning back. No turning back. All right, now here's verse 12. It says, but this man, capital M, speaking of Christ, obviously. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, he sat down at the right hand of God, from that time waiting until his enemies are made his footstool. So Jesus has made one offering, and that, of course, being himself. Then he sat down. Like I said last week, there's nothing left for him to do except return. That's the only thing left, is him coming back. He's waiting on you now, by the way. He's waiting on you. He's not waiting for anything but you. He's waiting on you to fill these seats in the kingdom. Your obedience to my sermon title is what fills these seats. How do you respond? Will you do his will? He's waiting on you. Until then, he personally has sat down. Now, maybe you guys think I'm crazy, but that's what it says in the Bible. If Peter says that we can hasten, that means speed up the day of his return. So maybe when he said he doesn't know when he's coming back, where's that in the Bible? Mark 13:32. Maybe he really meant what he said when he said that. He says, no one knows. He said, I don't even know. Maybe because that's dependent on you and me. Filling up these seats. Not so much in Island Community Church, but it starts here in Island Community Church. There's a number of seats known only to God, and once that last seat comes, man, oh man, you better look out.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
Something that no other friend could ever do.